Hello. Welcome to the Kickoff Beyond. I'm Eric here with Alvi. Today we're going to be just going over some of the news that's been popping up in the Premier League. But to start, we'll talk about the Monday game that we didn't get around to talk about in the last podcast, which was Leicester versus Spurs, ended 1-1 draw. This was surprising. I had predicted on Sunday's podcast that Spurs should have easily won. So the fact that they drew, kind of incredible, I guess, on Leicester for being a promotion team and giving Spurs a run for their money. Even though when I saw the game, and the Spurs did look like the better team, especially in the first half. Like, credit to the to Leicester's goalie. He saved a bunch of different scoring opportunities that they could have had. Did you get a chance to watch the game?
No, I didn't get a chance to watch the game. I saw the highlights. You know, it's pretty hard. Like we talked about last time during the week for us, like in the morning. But yeah, it looked pretty well from the stats. It looks pretty one-sided. And then they have like 63% possession.
Yeah. Yeah, so they had most of the possession, and then like the amount of shots that they just were drilling towards Leicester was like crazy. But you got to give it up to the man, Jamie Vardy, for his header that tied the game after the second half. That was crazy. And then I love this. I love when guys do this. He, after scoring and stuff, and then he was just taunting Tottenham, being like, hey, we got a Premier League title and you guys got nothing. I thought, man, that was awesome.
He's crazy, man. Jamie Vardy is crazy.
One of our topics that we want to talk about was the Red Bull, his Red Bull habits. Because you know what? Maybe this is giving this guy wings, you know?
It has to be the Red Bulls.
I don't know what he's 37. Like...
Dude is here for a good time, not a long time. His heart is going to give out one of these days, but man, he's going to be scoring headers, bangers.
But he has crazy. More trophies than the Spurs, so
yeah,
as an organization. So that I think that's
and
fair.
Also 8 goals for like on opening day. That's actually pretty impressive. He's like top 5.
Yeah.
When it comes to like opening day goals.
You know what's crazy? I heard this thing, and this was maybe like a year or two ago. This was when Harry Kane was either thinking about or right before he moved to Munich. And it was someone gave the question of like, if you're going off purely by stats and stuff like that and trophies, could you argue the fact that Jamie Vardy has had a better career than Harry Kane?
Oof. That's kind of... I mean, you can't really say that. I feel like, ooh, actually, no, that caught me off guard.
It's a good like what, like maybe, right? Like, I mean, granted, their career. I mean, Jamie Vardy's career is close to being over. Harry Kane's still got a good handful of years to, you know, to win some titles and whatever. But the one thing that Jamie Vardy will always be able to hang over Harry Kane's head is like, hey, trophy. I won the Premier League. Yeah. And you didn't.
And that wasn't like a strong team either. That was like one of the worst odds to win the Premier League.
Yeah, what was it? Know. If you would have bet them that year, you would have won like, if you bet like $10, you would have won like $1 million. It was some dumb like that. Like
some crazy odds. Yeah.
It was, yeah, like insurmountable odds.
I feel like that's hard to say. I mean, they did win, but I feel like Harry Kane, he is one of the top players of this generation, at least right. Like a number 9.
Do you think that if Harry Kane, if he would have been on a different Premier League team besides Tottenham, does he win a championship? I think so, probably. I think if he's on literally any other team, if he's on United, if he's on Arsenal, if he's on Chelsea, I think they probably win something. An FA Cup trophy, you know, stuff like that. Like,
at minimum. For sure. Because everyone else has won, like, well, except for Arsenal for the past couple of years. But, I mean, Chelsea won, right?
Recently? Yeah, Chelsea's won. The Champions League. I think recently. The Champions League, yeah. The league, I'm not sure. I don't think so. Not in, like, the last, you know, 8 years or whatever, 10 years.
Yeah, for the Champions League, for sure. He would have had one there. Man City.
Man City's,
even FA Cup with Man U. Yeah, and if he was on a different team, he would for sure have like a couple trophies.
Oh yeah.
I don't know what's wrong with Spurs. I don't know why they can't win.
Well, I mean, they've had some like coaches talk. Well, there's that one famous one from I forget his name. He was one of the last coaches that was there, and he like just spilt everything out and talking about how it kind of starts with the organization and how they allow passive players basically and passive like achievements. And I kind of believe him because I read recently the book from Carlos Ancelotti, and he talked about when he was the head coach for Chelsea and how like ruthless they were in running that organization, like because they only cared about winning. But there was a moment where the owner basically told Ancelotti, like, if you lose this game, literally don't show up tomorrow for work.
Oh, I think I saw that one before. Yeah, I've heard
yeah,
that one
and he was like, he didn't know if he was joking or not, and they ended up losing the game, and he shows up to work the next day thinking like, this is weird. And yeah, and he got fired like that day. The owner was like, get the fuck out, like, we only expect championships, so if you're not gonna provide that, get out.
Yeah.
So for someone like Tottenham, who's like held as like a top six team of England, it's like, it's kind of amazing that it's literally like they're okay with just being top six, you know?
Yeah, and that shouldn't be like that.
Especially for Tottenham fans, that sucks.
No, yeah. But do you think the org, let's say the owners, you think they should be more involved, or you should let the coach do everything? Because I remember the quote from Jose Mourinho. He was like talking about his days in Chelsea and how he just wanted the owner to just pay up and just let Jose do whatever he wants. And, you know, they won.
Yeah, and I think it depends on who. I mean, okay, so to make a basketball reference, the Los Angeles Lakers are, especially since like the 1980s, have been the by far the most successful basketball team in the NBA, right? And a lot of it is due to the owner, and his whole philosophy was, he's like, I got all this money, so I don't want to know about anything. Like, I'm going to literally just pay to get the best front office people, the best coaches, the best physicians, all that, and they will take care of it. So, like, he never really bothered with, like, there's some owners that are real hands-on, and a lot of times that's to their detriment, because it's like, dude, like, you're not there day to day. You're not, you know, you can't, if you're an owner of a like sports team, usually you have a lot of other stuff going on than just the basketball or just the sport. So I always believe that great owners are people who hide in the background, and all they do is they just splurge the money on the office, the front office, and like the coaching staff, and then they take over from there, or like their GMs and stuff like that.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's how it should be. So then, well, I'm not too familiar with how Spurs are run or how the organization is ran. So I'm not sure how they are. Like, is it the coach's fault for not being a little bit more aggressive? Like, just telling him to back off and letting him do what he wants?
Yeah, like, so I also think that, like, more teams, especially in England, should take that, like, Arsenal route. And because I think teams are too willing to just let go of the head coach right away as soon as danger strikes. And I think more teams should. Okay, for all that people give United shit for, I do think that you need the consistency in terms of head coaching. Like, let them figure this team out. After like 5 or 6 or 7 years, then you can go like, hey, it doesn't work, right? I don't think that having a new coach every 2 years is good, because there's no consistency, because then now these players are going to learn a whole nother system, you know, under a new coach, a different formation, a different, like, how they press, how they do this or that, even the roles that they have that they're used to. Yeah,
the coaching staff.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. Like, all that plays a part in winning. Like, I've always believed that winning, like, there's a big percentage that is, like, just pure luck, like, in terms of health, in terms of just like matchups, stuff like that. But another huge part of it is just the consistency. I think that's why Real Madrid is as successful as they are right now, is because you look at that team, the team's been together for so long. And when one retires, they have another guy that they've been prepping the whole time to take its place. And Carlo Ancelotti's been there for a while now. There's that consistency, you know?
It doesn't hurt that all the best players want to play there as well.
Well, I mean, okay, yeah. Oh, and God, and that too. I guess we can like lightly talk about it because Real Madrid is like my favorite team ever. And I did this whole like boast about how they're already the best team in England or in Europe. They drew 1-1 in their opening game in La Liga, and it upset me. I'm like, no way. Like opening night, like opening game. Like, and a big thing, which was things that we kind of talked about in private before, which was, well, all these guys are like left wingers or left midfielders. Like, how are they? And that's what happened. I saw the highlights. I didn't get to watch the game, but I saw the highlights, and I've seen like still images of like Rodrigo, Bellingham, Vinny Jr. and Mbappe all on the left side of the field, like all crammed together. And it's like, oh, right, because they're all used to being there.
Yeah, and that's something, like you said, we talked about. And I don't know. Hopefully they fix it. That's something that they're going to have to work on. Well, speaking of La Liga, I don't know if you saw that Gundogan is leaving Barcelona for Man City, or it already happened.
Oh, yeah. So I'm not too familiar with who he is. Do you want to give me a rundown on the story?
Yeah, he's a German national. Amazing player, amazing midfielder. He used to be the captain for Man City before he went to Barcelona. But I guess Barcelona needed the money. So it was a free transfer to Man City, which sucks because that's just more strength to Man City now. Man City now has like a way deeper bench.
Yeah. So, okay. So I know you're like a Barcelona fan. So I was actually reading something recently about Barcelona's like struggles and how it seems to just be every year they're constantly over budget and they're having to like just sell players off all the time.
Yeah. So one thing I was reading is that it's just, I don't know, they don't have money. And then they're paying these players a lot of money. I don't know what's up with Barcelona. It looks like they're like really bad at transfers. Yeah, so they wanted to bring Dani Olmo for like 55, 60 mil. And that's around like what Gundogan's getting paid. So they would rather have him. And I also was reading that Roque, I don't know if you've heard of him, the Brazilian player. I don't know, there's just a lot of players they're trying to like transfer out, trying to make space. I don't know their budget. I don't know how it works for them. I haven't been keeping up with them. But it looks like they can't keep players because of money. And also the new head coach is trying to switch things up. It's just a mess right now in Barcelona. I am not expecting anything from them this year, to be honest.
But what's crazy is that they're building some like crazy state-of-the-art like stadium in Barcelona. Like with the Spotify Camp Nou or whatever.
Yeah. I don't know why they're doing that right now. Well, obviously, we know why they're doing it. You know, Barcelona, it's still a massive club.
Yeah.
But I think for that team, like the front office, coaching, I feel like the new coach is just trying to switch things up. It's a mess right now. I can't even explain it, to be honest. It's just a mess all around.
Well.
And now people are getting players for cheap, like Gundogan on a free transfer to Man City. That's crazy.
What's crazy is that, like, because Barcelona is still in the Champions League. So it's like, why would you give someone who's going to be your competitor later this year, potentially, you know, why would you give them more firepower to potentially beat you in the Champions League, you know?
I guess they just really want Dani Olmo and they wanted Nico Williams, but Nico Williams, they don't have the money for it. I don't know.
Right.
They're a mess right now. They have to figure that out. But this is a Premier League podcast. Let's go back to Premier League.
All right.
And also talk about transfers. I was also looking at like Sterling. I was reading an article that the coach told him doesn't want him at all. You could do whatever you want. You're not really part of the team. We don't have space for you. You're not going to get any minutes. And I kind of feel bad for him, to be honest. Like, he wasn't really wanted at Man City. Chelsea's...
Well, Chelsea has like 40 players on their team right now.
Yeah. So you know, coach was like, you're not getting any minutes. So if you want, you could look somewhere else. And I feel like as a player, I feel like it makes you feel bad.
Yeah.
Like it hurts your ego.
Especially because he is a good player. He's, you know.
And he's still 29 years old. I thought he was older for some reason because he's been around for a while.
Right.
He's still 29. So I saw that Aston Villa was trying to pick him up, which I think would be a pretty decent pickup.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And that could help him in the Champs League. But we'll see. Yeah, I think he has until the 31st to make his decision, or if not, he's stuck on the Chelsea bench until January.
Yeah, I think he'll make it. I think he'll definitely leave. I don't think he doesn't have a choice really, because it's either that or not play, you know. Yeah.
And from what I've seen, he wants to stay in England because I guess he's still trying to make it back onto the international team.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. So playing minutes means a lot to him then.
No, for sure.
So now we'll begin our our picks for the week. So I guess we can do it like this. Like I'll give you my four that I think are the most like watch worthy, and then you give me your four, and then we can try to see if we come in the middle, unless we have the same games. All right. So my four is going to be Brighton against Man United. I just think that between those two teams, they got a lot to fight for. They also got a lot to lose, especially early on in the season. So I think that's going to be a good game. Honestly, with how Leicester performed against Spurs, I think Leicester Fulham is going to be a better game than people might give it. So I got them second. And then I got Everton and Spurs. Given that Everton lost, and then also that Spurs drew with Leicester, they're another one of those, like, they both got to figure something out. Everton to not make sure that they're not in relegation battles already, and Spurs to see if they can bounce back from what is perceived as like they should have won that game. And then my fourth pick is going to be Aston Villa and Arsenal, two teams that are vying for the top spot. Both had great games in week one. Arsenal, it would be about, you know, keeping form, staying up afloat. And then Aston Villa to kind of, if they can beat Arsenal, this is like a prove worthy game. If they can beat Arsenal, if they can even draw with Arsenal, I think that would say a lot about their potential as a top four team this year. So what do you got?
All right. So for me, I think Brighton United is something I really want to watch. Brighton, you know, came off the 3-0, even though it was like a red card, but whatever. I think that's going to be a great match. Aston Villa, Arsenal, like you said, people in the top four, they could fight for the top four. I actually want to watch Chelsea and Wolves. I want to see if Chelsea can bounce back from the Man City loss. Because, you know, there's still hype around them. I want to see how they perform against a lesser team.
Oh, definitely.
And I think, I don't know, I kind of like those two games that you mentioned, Fulham versus Leicester and then Tottenham versus Everton. I feel like Tottenham is going to beat Everton, but we were wrong last week. So I'm not sure. Because I think Fulham versus Leicester, I think that would be a more interesting match. I don't know if Leicester can win. I don't know. After seeing Vardy,
a big boost.
Yeah, after seeing Vardy, I don't know. I'm kind of hoping another repeat of that, their winning season.
As of right now, what we predicted, which was the second coming of Jamie Vardy, will be one step closer to our prediction coming true. And at this point, honestly, how he reacted to drawing with Tottenham just made me such a like bigger fan of this guy. And now I'm just actively rooting for Leicester City to like do as good as possible.
Dude.
Like, because, and then especially learning about his like Red Bull habits, God, makes me just love this dude. He is just me.
Man, he needs a sponsorship. He needs to be.
I don't know why Red Bull hasn't just called up Leicester City and just been like, "We'll be your kit sponsors."
Yeah. But yeah, Vardy, man. I don't know. He's a legend. He's a legend for the club. I'm kind of rooting for the guy now. But yeah, too. So I think so. What four games do you think we should watch after hearing both lists? I think the only difference is Tottenham and Chelsea.
I can concede. I'll concede to the Chelsea Wolves game. So we'll watch Chelsea Wolves, and especially since Leicester City and then the Spurs game are on at the same time. I think even just logistically, it makes more sense to just skip over them and watch the Chelsea Wolves game, because you're right. Like, given the fact that, I don't know, online people have been giving Chelsea a lot of like crap about like their performance, I thought that it wasn't that bad. You know, and I can be wrong. I can be an ignorant American that doesn't know anything about football, but like, I didn't think that they were that as bad as people were trying to make it out to be. Even though they did lose 2-0 to Manchester City, but again, it's Manchester City. They're the reigning undefeated like champions, you know? So like, I give my pass on this now. If they lose to Wolves or they even draw with Wolves, then I can see you kind of hitting or getting near the panic button, you know?
Yeah.
That's that. But if they beat Wolves, I think all that stuff that people have been saying about Man City should be like, not an anomaly, but like, again, like it's Manchester City. They're literally the best team in England.
No.
Undoubtedly, you know,
no,
like
yet.
They've won 4 in a row. They're undoubtedly the best team.
Honestly, I was surprised. I was surprised they kept that at 2. You know, they were playing pretty good. It's just like I feel like they're having trouble in the final third, but I didn't think they played that bad. Not as bad as people are making it seem.
And also that second goal came like pretty later in the game, you know? So like that's why everyone knew it was over by that point. But it was 1-0 for a long time, and there was a couple chances that Chelsea had, you know, to tie the game. So yeah, so I guess our four games are going to be Brighton, Man United, Leicester City, and Fulham. Then we got Aston Villa, Arsenal, and then on Sunday morning we got Chelsea and Wolves. The only game that's going to suck to watch is going to be the Brighton Man United game, because that's at 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah. I'm just going to let you guys know it's probably going to be a highlight rewatch for me. I don't know if I'm waking up that early.
I'm going to give it my best shot.
I want to. I would love to, but that's a little too early for me.
yeah.
And I got to make sure I'm able to watch it, to be honest. But yeah.
Nah, yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's about it for this podcast. We will see you guys after all the games this weekend. We'll go over all the games like we normally do. That's about it. Shout out Belgium.
Shout out Belgium.
We love you, Belgium.
All 8 people. Or 9.
I think it's like 12.
Oh, 12. Belgium. Love Belgium. Would love to visit one day.
We love you guys. All right. Well, on that note, we'll catch you guys later. Bye.